listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear great ideas, insight, and inspiration to level up your leadership ability.
Hey, everyone. It's John Barrett on the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. It is so great to have you here, tuning in once again for another episode. Hey, listen, it is a new year, and I am really, really excited about all the great things in store for you, all the great things in store for your leadership and your influence and your impact so that you can continue to grow. I want to share with you guys today a lesson that I gave as a leadership coach almost 15 years ago. That's right. I had this idea to do a podcast. Well, let me rephrase it. It wasn't even a podcast because I don't even know if, podcasts were around then, but they weren't as popular as they are now. So what I wanted to do was this kind of audio, digital kind of version of a leadership lesson that I would put out there. I didn't even know exactly at the time what medium to use, but it was going to be called Leadership Momentum, How to Get Momentum as a Leader. And so I put together this very first lesson. I'll never forget, my family was out of town and I was at my dinner table and I recorded this lesson called The Heart of a Leader, the H-E-A-R-T, the heart of a leader. And it was just this idea of how to inspire leaders to get momentum called leadership momentum. So I want to share that with you guys. I love to look back sometimes and reflect. I don't know how I came across this in the archives of files that I had. I had totally forgotten about this thing. I haven't even thought about this in, literally probably 14 years. But I recorded this in the hopes to help inspire leaders, and I came across it, and I wanted to share it with you for a few reasons. Number one, I think there's some really great leadership nuggets in there that you're going to be able to extract and get. Number two, if you've been around me and my world for long enough, you're going to hear some of the same themes that I talk about today that were true back then. A message that I continue to use to this day. So it was kind of cool to look back and just see these things that have been I've been teaching and to hear them maybe in a different light 15 years ago, how maybe they've evolved today. So that was kind of cool. The other thing is that I can see where I've grown as a leader in my own life. And when I look back and I listen back to that audio message that I gave that you're going to listen to here, I look back and I think, wow, there's so many things I wanted to add in there, so many things I could have said and that. So it's kind of cool to look back and just see how you've grown and just to kind of see the difference between 15 years ago as a leader, the things that were relevant versus the things that are relevant today. And many of those things are still relevant, but there's some things in there that I thought were pretty interesting. So anyway, all that to say that when I thought about this, I thought I want to share it with you guys as listeners. Hopefully you're going to pick up something great in here. Again, this was from 15 years ago at my dinner table that I just kind of shared some ideas about the heart of a leader that I think are going to be relevant today. So I hope you enjoy it. This is a blast from the past. Pick up some ideas, some truths in here that are going to help you as a leader. Check this out. Welcome everyone to Leadership Momentum, a monthly mentoring resource designed to develop and grow your leadership potential. I'm John Barrett, and I am so excited to have the opportunity to teach you this month's lesson called The Heart of a Leader. So let's jump right in. You know, we've all heard the phrase, hey, they have a heart of a lion. You know, we've said that about athletes. We've said that about those we've encountered before that are doing a great job. We say, they got a heart of a lion. Well, what do we mean when we say they have a heart of a lion? Well, what we're really saying is that they never give up, that they never fear, that they're courageous, that they're strong, that they keep going and they keep giving and they do everything they can. You know, we say that, well, they may be small, but they've got a heart of a lion. And we've said that about people before. And I came across this story I want to read to you about a particular lion. It says, once upon a time, there was a lion living alone in the forest. And he decided to leave the forest to find another interesting place because he was bored with his life. So the lion kept moving until it found a small garden inside the city with many cats living in it. The lion lived among the cats and felt happy with its new life. And one day a little kid started to run toward the cats and he ran fast. And as a result, all the cats felt afraid and they began to run. So the lion stood clueless, not knowing what to do until one cat told him, run, run. And because the lion was clueless about the right action he was supposed to do, he just started to run as well. And days passed and the lion started behaving more and more like cats until it forgot that it was a lion. This lion carried the heart of a lion, but because it was subjected to a great pressure to act like the cats, the lion, his heart, was completely useless. And you know, leaders have within them
the potential and the ability to inspire people, to move people, to get the best results out of those that they lead. We have got potential within us as a leader, but you know, we can't forget who we are as a leader. See, we can't forget the potential that we have inside of us. Just like that lion, he forgot that he was a lion. He began to act like a cat. Sometimes leaders forget what the heart of leadership is all about. And you see, what leadership is all about is who we are, not just what we do. Dr. John C. Maxwell, he said this. He said, to measure a leader, put a tape around his heart, not his head. You know, leaders have heart, and they have a heart for people. Leaders have a heart for people. In your notes, it says this, the true test of a leader is not how smart they are, it's how genuine they are. It's not about how brilliant they are, it's how true they are. It's who they are on the inside, because who you are on the inside comes out on the outside. And people are more concerned about your inside than they are your outside. You see, in your notes, it says this, if you don't care for your people, you will never be able to lead your people. Think about it. The leaders that you've had in your life, I mean, did you want to do your best when you had a leader that wasn't giving you their best? Did you want to go above and beyond to a leader that didn't care about you, that just saw you as a statistic, as a number? They just saw you as kind of a program or just an employee, nothing really more. Did you want to give your best to that leader? No, you didn't go above and beyond. You just kind of did what was asked of you. But let me ask you this. What about a leader in your life that you've had that cared about you, that believed in you, that did everything they can to add value to you? Now, what did you do for that leader? I bet you went above and beyond. I bet you wanted to do anything you could to impress that leader and to give them your very best. Why? It's because they valued you. They cared for you. And when you care for your people as a leader, you will be able to get the very best out of them. I remember when I was growing up, I washed dishes at a local golf course at a country club. And I got this job as a dishwasher, not a prestigious job, you know, just washing dishes and going in there and scraping off people's food and all their leftovers and putting it into the dishwasher and putting them up and that. And I had my boss, who was the main chef there, his name was Wayne, I'll never forget. He was incredible. This guy took time to care about me. Every time I would come in, he would ask me questions about how my day was. He would talk to me about what I was doing with my life. At the time, I was in a band in high school. I was in a rock band, and we were writing songs and traveling around and recording and doing things in high school. And he would always ask me about my band. And he'd go on and on. He'd say, that's so cool, John, that you're in a band. And tell me about your show the other night. How did it go? And I can't believe that. He made me feel special. I mean, he was asking questions about me, and he was much older than me. He was way beyond me. He was the leader there at the country club, but he took the time to connect with me. And because he connected with me, I wanted to give Wayne my very best. I'm telling you, I looked forward to coming to work. I mean, I was only making $5 an hour washing dishes, but you know what? I looked forward to going to work because I loved the connection with Wayne. He looked out for me, and he cared about me. And when I got around him, I felt lifted up. You see, he cared for me, and he got the best out of me because of that. See, leaders know their greatest asset is people. Leaders know that their greatest asset is people. See, a company's greatest asset is not their product, it's their people. And see, your greatest asset is not what you offer in your organization, it's who the product helps. It's about people. You see, if there weren't people in the world, then your product wouldn't matter at all, would it? No, of course not. Your product only matters because people are the ones that buy it, or people are the one that is impacted by your product, by your services as an organization. And so if you want to grow your products and you want to have more market range, you want to have better success in your organization, then here's what you do. You develop your people. You begin to connect and care for your people, because when you care for your people, they will rise up and they will begin to create better products. People create products. You don't manage people. You manage products, but you lead people. You see, people they don't want to be managed. They want to be led. People aren't programs. They're not statistics. They're not just another number. People are people, and they have heart. And when you connect with them, with your heart, then all of a sudden, they begin to rise up and give you even more. You see, you manage products. Products are just intangible things. They're elusive. They're just a wrapped, prepackaged product that is out there. But people are real. People are living and breathing. They have heart. They have feelings. They have emotions. They have ups and they have downs, and they need to be led. And so leaders understand that they don't manage their people. They lead their people and inspire them for greater things. You see, leadership is about influencing others. And in order to influence others, you've got to be able to lead them. You've got to be able to connect with them, and you've got to be able to care for those people. You see, the higher you lift your people, the higher your organization goes. The higher you lift your people, the higher your organization will go. You see, in order to grow a business, you have to grow the people. And the more you develop your people, the more you develop your leaders underneath you, the more that you develop your impact in your organization. You see, the rate, the growth of your leaders will be the rate of your growth as a business. So goes your leaders, so goes your business. So grows your leaders, so grows your business. If you want to grow your business, grow your people. When you lift your people up, when you add value to them and you connect with them, and as a leader, you have a heart that begins to impact them, you lift them to a higher level. And you know what I found? That when you lift others to a higher level, guess what? You get to go with them. That's right. When you lift others up, you get to go with them. You get to piggyback off their success. You see, a leader is successful because they're the leader. They're positionally, they're over the person that is under them. And so when that leader begins to lift up those underneath them positionally and begin to lift them to a higher level, guess what? They get to go up with them. They get to have the influence on them. And so when you lift your people, you're going to lift your organization. A lot of business owners come up, and I do some small business owner leadership seminars and different things to help entrepreneurs and that grow their business. And many business owners will come up and they'll say, John, how do I grow my business? What do I do? What's the next strategy? What's the next thing that I need? What's the product out there? What's the next best thing that we can do to market this and market that? And it's interesting because they always kind of talk about their product, and they talk about their strategy, and they talk about marketing in order to get their product out there more. And that's valid. Don't get me wrong. Don't hear what I'm not saying in this. That is very valid. There are some great techniques to do that. But what I find interesting is this, is that rarely do they talk about how can I grow my people so that it will grow my business. Usually they're looking for external ways to grow their business, new ideas, new market strategies. They're looking for new demographics, and they're looking for all different kinds of new techniques. But the reality is that you grow your business from within. Now, when you begin to grow your people, then all of a sudden they're able and they're capable of taking those strategies and those new ideas and those fresh market advances and all these things that cause a business to grow. They're able to carry that now because your people are bigger on the inside so that they can take bigger responsibilities and make a bigger impact on the outside. So lift your people to a higher level, and your organization will significantly go to a higher level. See, what you make happen for others, they will make happen for you. When you take others to a higher level, they'll take you to a higher level with them. You see, great leaders are great not because they're just great, but because they surround themselves with great people. Did you get that? You see, great leaders are great not because they're great, but because they surround themselves with great leaders. See, when you have great leaders around you, you will become great as well as the leader. Isn't that cool? Isn't that a great principle? You know, what you make happen for others, they'll make happen for you. So you begin to lift others up, they'll begin to lift you up. See, Zig Ziglar said this, you can have anything you want in life if you will help enough other people get what they want. I remember when I heard Zig saying that, I was working in I was cleaning a dialysis center in Tennessee. I had this job, and I was working on my leadership career, and I was in ministry at the time, and I was working on just bettering myself. And so I took this side job, and I was cleaning a dialysis center late at night. I had to do it after they closed, before they opened up at 8 in the morning. So I'd go in about midnight or so and clean it for a few hours. And I would just go in there by myself, and I would put on my Walkman. That's what I had at the time. I had a tape player, and I had Zig Ziglar. And I had How to Set Goals, and I'd put in that tape, and I'd put it in my Walkman, and I'd put on my headphones, walk in the dialysis center, pull out the mop, and begin cleaning. And I'd listen to Zig Ziglar for 2 hours. And I would listen to the same tape over and over and over until I was memorizing just about everything that he said. And it influenced me. I was a young kid. I was only, I think, 21 years old, right around there. And I was going and doing this. And I was learning more in that dialysis center than I had years of my life before that. I was learning more. Why? Because Zig was teaching me that if you can help others, then you will get everything you want in life. If you will live a life of greatness by making others great, you will become great. And he taught these incredible principles, and it changed my life. And I began to see that as I began to enter in and leading people and beginning to lead these organizations that I was a part of, I began to find that if I would help make other people's dreams come true and I would focus on their strengths and their gifts, then that would be returned back to me. It was an incredible principle. And here's what I found out in leadership. A leader touches a heart before they ask for a hand. You see, a leader is able to touch the heart of people and inspire them. And as a result, that person says, what can I do for you? And they'll give you their hands. Hey, they'll give you both their hands. They'll give you their time. They'll give you their energy. They'll give you the best they got when you touch their heart. So as a leader, how do you touch a heart? How do you touch other people's hearts so that you can begin to get their hand to be able to do great things together? Well, here's what I think. Let's take heart. The H for heart is this. You touch a heart by giving honor. It's about honor. You see, it's not titles that honor men, but men that honor titles. You see, honor is to give respect and worth to others. You see, you can't truly respect someone if you secretly dishonor them on the inside. Right? I mean, people see past that. You know, fake it till you make it kind of a thing. Hey, I'll act like I honor you and I value you so that I can get something from you. No. People see through that. You've seen that through other people in your life, haven't you? Sure you have. No. You can't lead someone until you gain their respect. And respect and honor is earned by giving honor. So if you want more honor as a leader, then you've got to give honor away to your people. And when you give honor to your people, they'll give honor back to you. See, here's what I've found in leadership is this, is who you appreciate appreciates in value. So when you begin to appreciate your leaders and give honor to them, their value begins to appreciate. It gets better and better and bigger, and they begin to feel honor within. And then what do? They return the favor by honoring you. You see, honor and respect and worth, those are all earned. They're earned. We don't just demand it from people. It's earned because we've given them honor. You see, speak highly of people in public. Build people up with honor. One of the best ways that you can give honor to your people and touch their heart is brag on them for what they're doing right. Too many leaders pick out what people are doing wrong. And yes, as a leader, we need to make sure that we're shoring up those weaknesses and those things that we need to make better. But you know what? Just as much, if not 10 times more, do we need to pick out the things that are going right. We need to honor the things that they're doing well. And I'll tell you what, nothing will give honor to someone more than for you to publicly acknowledge them and appreciate them. When you appreciate them publicly, then all of a sudden their value begins to appreciate on the inside and it goes up. And I don't mean public. I'm not saying that you've got to get up on a stage and honor every single person. But you know what? As you're walking through the crowd and you just, you know, give honor to somebody, that lifts them up. I remember I went to go visit a organization one time, and I met the guy that I was going to do some leadership development with, and he was walking me around the office, and he was introducing me to other people in the organization. And I'll never forget that when every time he went up to a new person, he'd walk up to the secretary and say, hey, this is Sally John, and you know what? Sally is the best secretary we've ever had. She is phenomenal. I'll tell you what, she's the best that we could get here in this organization. And I thought, well, wow, Sally must be amazing. And I thought, well, that's awesome. Hey, nice to meet you, Sally. And then we would move on, and he'd go in to somebody else. He'd bump into the janitor in the hallway, and he'd say, John, I want you to meet Rick. This is Rick, our janitor. And Rick is one of the best janitors we've ever hired in this organization. He goes above and beyond. Let me tell you about Rick. Rick is a leader. He's not just a janitor. Rick is a leader. He does a fantastic job of making this building everything that it can be to represent who we are as an organization. And I thought, well, goodness gracious, Rick, you must be incredible. I mean, how did you get the, and you get the point. He went on, every single person that he introduced me to, he went on and on and on about how they were the best at what they do. And I thought, well, gosh, how did you get all these people? I mean, where did you go? I mean, who did you hire an agency to go find the best of the best? No, they didn't. You know what he did? He was honoring them and he was lifting them up. And as a result, they were lifting the organization. All these people had smiles on their face and they loved it when their leader talked about them that way. That's what it means to give honor to your leaders. When you do that, you're going to touch a heart. You see, your influence will increase when you honor those around you. People respond when they feel honored, and leadership is based on honor. The second thing that we've got to do to touch a heart is we've got to encourage people. We've got to encourage those around us as a leader. And you know what encouragement does? This is what encouragement does. It puts courage in people. When you encourage somebody, you put courage in them. And when you place courage in them, they begin to rise to that level of expectation. You see, Napoleon Bonaparte said that leaders are dealers in hope. To encourage is to put courage in others. It's to put hope in them and courage and strength. And so when you go around and you begin to speak words of encouragement to your people, I guarantee you it will energize them and it will put courage in them to step out and do things that you never thought were possible from them. You see, when someone has courage on the inside, look out, because they will begin to take significant steps in greater things. You see, when someone doesn't have courage, usually they're stricken with fear. And when you have fear, it paralyzes you. You don't want to step out. You get scared and you shake and you freeze in the moment. And so in an organization, if you want to do greater things, then your people have to be filled with courage, because courage is what gives you the strength and the energy to step out into the unknown, into greater areas of awareness, into greater things that you could do in your organization. But it takes courage. So as a leader, you give courage to them by encouraging them. You place it in them. Remember the Lion and the Wizard of Oz? What did he need? He needed courage. You see, leaders, they need courage. And we as leaders have to give courage to others. We've got to turn leaders into lions. We've got to begin to put courage in their heart so that they begin to step out and do even greater things. I love this story. The San Francisco school system performed an experiment years ago, and a principal in the district called in three teachers, and he told them that because of their expertise, they were considered the finest teachers in the system. He also told them that they would be given 90 high IQ students who would be allowed to learn at their own pace to see how far they could advance. And at the end of the year, these students achieved 20 to 30% more than the other students in the entire San Francisco Bay Area. And the principal called the three teachers in and told them he had a confession to make. He told them they didn't have 90 of the most intellectually gifted students. In fact, academically, they were just run-of-the-mill. Average students picked at random. The teachers naturally concluded their, exceptional teaching skills must have been responsible for the students' great progress, but the principal had another confession to divulge. He said these teachers were the first three names drawn out of a hat. These teachers. You see, these teachers went in with the assumption that they were the best in the industry and that they were given the highest students to go do something great with. But the reality is that the teachers were randomly drawn and the students were randomly drawn. But you know what? It was their expectation, their courage that was put into them, believing that they were great, caused them to do great things. The third way to touch a heart is this, is to add value. You see, the more you help others grow, the more that you grow, the more your organization grows. And you add value to others by providing them with opportunity and resources. When you add value to those under you, to your leaders around you, when you add value to them by giving them opportunities to grow, opportunities to win. Hey, you know what? As a leader, it's your responsibility to create wins for your people. Set them up so that they can get some wins under their belt. I see a lot of leaders that in the name of wanting to challenge their people and really push them far, sometimes they push them so hard that they don't allow them to get any wins under their belt. So as a result, the people begin to kind of lose heart over time because they're not getting wins under their belt. But you know, a smart leader begins to give opportunities where they know that they can get some wins under their belt. Because when you get wins under your belt, you begin to get wind. You begin to get wind in your sails to go further and further when you get wins. So as a leader, add value to your people. Give them resources to grow, opportunities to get better. You know, you're listening to this because you've taken the time to grow yourself as a leader, to get better, to get momentum, to be able to do what you can do and do it even better. You're adding value to yourself. Well, hey, as a leader, we've got to add value to others around us. We've got to give them value by giving them opportunities and resources to get wins under their belt. Because when they get wins under their belt, they are going to begin to step up and want to go further, and they're going to want more wins. When you taste success, you want more success. So as a leader, add value to your people. Give them opportunities to get wins under their belt. The fourth thing is this. Is to touch a heart, you've got to relate with your people. You've got to find ways that you can relate. Now, as a leader, you're not going to relate with 100 things with one person. I mean, there might be one person or two people in your organization that you really relate with and you can really connect with on that kind of a level. But you know, the reality is that not everybody has things that relate to each other, and we all have different interests and kind of different passions and different outlooks and things like that. But here's what you've got to do in order to relate with your people is this. Find the 1% you connect on and give it 99% of your effort. You see, leaders have to meet on common ground with their people. You find that 1% that you connect with and you give it 99% of your energy. Rather than trying to find 99% of things that you can connect on and all that, no, you just find that 1%. Find one thing that you can connect with someone and give it all of your energy. So if they're in the sports, hey, you connect with them on that level. You may not be in the sports, but you know what? You can find something in there that you can connect with and begin to give that your attention. And maybe as you lead that person, that if they're an athletic sport kind of a person, just using that as an example, then maybe some of the examples that you use, some of the things that you challenge them with have that sort of a sports outlook maybe. Maybe you give them some quotes from people like John Wooden and some of these great coaches that were out there. And you begin to connect with them on that level. When I was doing youth ministry, when I was working in the church, and I was a youth pastor for a while, and I told our leaders, when we would begin to connect with teenagers, and here's what we would train them on is that when you talk with a teenager, you talk about them. Don't talk about yourself. Talk about them. Talk about what they love, and you find that one thing that you can connect with them on. And you give it all of your energy. So as an adult, if you're talking to a teenager and they love the skateboard, hey, you may have never been on a skateboard in your life. Or maybe you tried when you were young and you fell off and you really, really got hurt, which we all have that story, don't we? And so give that your energy. And so with that skateboarder, maybe you can tell them that story of you know, when you were young and that's your point of connection. And then you just say, hey, tell me about skating. I've always wanted to learn more about it. Well, you know what you're doing? You're connecting with them. You're relating with them. And when you relate with people, they begin to buy into you as a leader. And let me tell you something. People will not buy into your vision until they bought into you as a leader. When they buy into you, they'll buy into your vision. When they buy into you as a leader, they're going to buy into your ideas. They're not just going to buy into your ideas, though, without buying into you. Well, how do you get them to buy into you? You relate with them. You find common ground. You establish common ground that you're both able to stand on together, and you give it all of your attention, all of your energy. The last thing that you've got to do to touch a heart is to trust. See, John Harold said, without trust, words become the hollow sound of a wooden gong. With trust, words become life itself. And you know what? We've got to give trust to people. We can't be burnt by others and say, you know what, I'm just not going to trust them, and they're guilty until proven innocent. And if we walk around with that mentality as a leader, we're never going to connect with our people because we're not trusting them. And people want to be trusted. You want to be trusted. You remember growing up, I remember when I got my license. I remember going out and I went to driver's ed and I got my license and I was so excited. I was ready to rule the world. I remember I went out and I found a Ford Escort, an 89 Ford Escort, and it was $800. And I thought, how am I going to get $800? But you know what? I was working with Wayne, washing dishes at that country club I told you about, and I raised the money. My parents helped me out a little bit, and I got an 89 hatchback blue Ford Escort. And I loved that thing. I thought I'd travel the world in this thing. I mean, it was the best car because it was my only car, and I loved it. And when I got my license, I was ready to go everywhere. I mean, I was ready to drive to other states with my friends on a vacation. I mean, I was ready to go across the country. And I remember my parents telling me, John, you haven't built up trust yet with the car, with your license, with being on the road. And I was so, what do you mean I don't have trust? I got my license. I should have trust. And my parents said, you haven't built up trust enough. And so I had to build up trust with them. And they had to give me a little bit of trust, you know? As a teenager, they had to give me some trust. I'm sure it wasn't easy for my parents to give me the keys and the license and say, hey, go drive around a little bit. I'm sure they were a little bit nervous, but they had to trust me. And I gained their trust because they gave me trust. And you know what? I gave them trust back. I followed through with how they trusted me. And see, as a leader, we've got to get to that point with our people that we're not like the parent who says, I'm never going to trust you. I'm holding on to the keys forever. You're never going to drive. No. We've got to begin to allow some trust to be given to our people so that they can begin to be built up on the inside, so that they can feel empowered to do what they're called to do in your organization, that they can be empowered to do great things. But you've got to give them trust. Stephen Covey said this, the best leaders recognize that trust impacts us 24/7, 365 days a year. It undergirds and affects the quality of every relationship, every communication, every work project, every business venture, every effort in which we are engaged. It changes the quality of every present moment and alters the trajectory and outcome of every future moment of our lives, both personally and professionally. I'm convinced that in every situation, nothing is as fast as the speed of trust. You see, when you give people trust, they begin to move fast. they begin to give you their hand because you've touched their heart with giving them trust. See, people will never trust you if you don't trust them. You've got to trust them. Touching a heart is about building trust with others. It's that trust bank account, like a trust fund. You know, you've got to deposit trust into them, and in return, they will begin to trust you as their leader. They will begin to give you their hand when you've touched their heart. So the heart of a leader today, do you have a heart of a leader? Those are some questions to ask yourself, to challenge yourself today. Do you have the heart of a leader? Have you been more concerned about what you're doing rather than who you are? Have you been so caught up in trying to get results done? And we need to do that. And we get very, very busy with that. Or are we giving enough time that we're making sure that we're touching the heart of our people? When we touch the heart of our people, we will begin to get their hand to do greater things with our organization. You want to move from number 15 in your organization to number one? You want to beat out the competition? You want to be the best that you can be in your area and in your market and in your organization? Then you know what? You've got to begin to touch the heart of your people. And when you touch the heart of your people, they will give you their hands and you will do great things together in your organization. Thanks so much for listening to Leadership Momentum. I hope that this is able to challenge you and give you some great nuggets that you can take to your team and become the leader that you have the potential to be. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. To get more of John's resources, visit www.johnbarrettleadership.com.